Amen. Thank you, Miss Ann. Mary, did you know that's a beautiful Christmas song that we've sung before, and thank you for playing it this morning. We've had a good morning already with early worship, the children leading in that, and praise team as well, and looking forward to this service. Since we have all the children and their parents are still here, many of them will be leaving after they sing. Let me just give you a reminder, the first through fifth grade will be singing tonight in the multi-generational service, which starts at 6 o'clock. And with all the activities going on in Gunnersville, with the parade being moved to 4 o'clock today, we're going to continue to have our practice at 4, but children that are involved in the parade, adults involved, just come when you're finished, and we'll start at 6 o'clock, so get here before that. And just be careful. If you're coming to the practice at 4 o'clock, remember, it's not easy to get through Gunnersville when the parade is happening. So come early, come a different way than through downtown or through, you know, Blunt and Gunner Avenue. So make sure you come kind of from the other direction. If you're coming from across the river, you probably need to come early and go around and the back way. So anyway. So that's a lot to remember, but thank you for having your children here this morning, and we're blessed to be able to work with them. I'm very blessed to be able to work with them. Thanks for all of our helpers as well. Let's pray. Lord, we glorify your name. I thank you for our children's choirs and bless them as they sing today. Thank you for our adult choir and youth choir and multi-generational choir and the way that they sing, for our praise team joining us also. And we're so blessed to be able to all sing together. Pray that you'll bless our instrumentalist and bless each one doing the technical things up in the balcony. I pray that you'll help us now minister to families that are bereaved now, losing loved ones, and that you'll comfort them. And for those facing health challenges, you'll be with them. For those who have family members who don't know you as their Savior and Lord, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts and draw them close, that they could truly come to a relationship with you this Christmas season. And we ask these things in Jesus' holy and powerful name. Amen. Let's stand as we sing hymn number 249, O Come, All Ye Faithful. O come. Thank you. children, will you sing a cappella? That means without instruments. That chorus, "Oh come, let us adore him." Lift it up so it fills up the whole room. Ready? Go. Now, I wanted you to hear what I've been hearing up here. And now let's see what it sounds like with just the voices. Everybody singing that chorus. Oh, come. Amen. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. You may be seated as we move into our Advent candle.
In week two of Advent, we light the candle of peace, or the Bethlehem candle. From Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. And Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them.
So today, on this second Sunday of Advent, we light the candle that represents peace. Father, we pray that the peace that you give, and only that you give through your Son, Jesus Christ, rest in our hearts today. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
So right now, let's stand. You can greet one another in the name of the Lord as the children come to sing. Good. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I like to hear the excitement, the visiting one with another. Some of the children were reintroducing themselves to me as if we had never met before. So that's pretty cool. All right. So we've got our younger children singing. This is the preschool and kindergarten choir under the direction of Miss Kathy Reeves and Amanda Smith. And then they've got several helpers that have helped them. And so we appreciate everybody that has stepped in and made our children's choir such a special year for everybody. So hope you'll enjoy the beautiful song that they sing and the bell song they play.
Yeah.
This time, the kindergarten and the preschoolers will be going to sit with their parents. So give them a minute to get down. Very good. Thank y'all so much for singing. That was great. And playing, too. All right, let me have the Cherokee students go first. Good. We do have some from other schools, but thank y'all for knowing to go. Second grade. All right, first grade. Thanks to all of my helpers, too, and Miss Karen for playing for us. All right, so what we're going to do is make sure our microphones are good. So let's see. Sydney, make sure yours is good. Just talk.
Hi.
There we go. Maggie.
Hello.
Good. Gemma.
Hi.
And Hayes.
Hi.
Okay, excellent.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled.
Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born. Christ is born in Bethlehem.
Amen. Thank you so much for singing along. Children's choirs and directors and helpers, thank you for all you've done. We're going to sing our offertory hymn next. We'll remain seated till the last stanza. And so on the last stanza, I invite all of our singers that sing in the choir loft to come. Anybody that wants to sing, that sings with the multi-generational choir that's here today, is welcome to join. Just come on the last stanza of Joy to the World. And then we're going to sing 1,000 hallelujahs for our special music today. So let's begin. Joy to the World. Anne, would you get us started?
Joy to the world. Lord,
stand and sing on the last. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations free. The glories of and wonders of his love and wonders of his love.
Lord and Heavenly Father, we come in your presence this morning with joy in our hearts. Lord, just grateful, Lord, for what all you've done for us. Lord, as we celebrate your birth, we just pray, Lord, that you'll fill our hearts with joy this season. And, Lord, that we will share that joy and that peace and that comfort and that hope and that love, Lord, that you have for us, that we'll share it with others. And, Lord, that in all things you'll be glorified. Lord, we're thankful for the children this morning and the youth, and we just pray that by lifting up their voices, Lord, that you have been glorified. And this day, Lord, may we continue to glorify you in all things that we do. Lord, we pray that you bless this offering. Just, Lord, that others may know you and know your love for them. And, Lord, that if they don't know you, Lord, that they will be saved as Christmas season. We love you, Lord, and we need you. In all things, may you receive honor and glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
to worship, whose glory taught the stars to shine. Perhaps creation longs to have the words to sing, but this joy is mine. With a thousand hallelujahs, we magnify your name. You alone deserve the glory, the honor, and the praise. Lord Jesus, this song is forever yours. A thousand hallelujahs and a thousand more.
Who else would die for our redemption? Whose resurrection means a rise? There isn't time enough to sing of all you've done, but I have a glory to try.
With a thousand hallelujahs, we magnify your name. You alone deserve the glory, the honor, and the praise. Lord Jesus, this song is forever.
Thank you.
Jesus, this song is forever yours. A thousand hallelujahs and a thousand more. A thousand hallelujahs and a thousand more. A thousand hallelujahs and a thousand
more. It just dawned on me that the crowd that was here this morning at early worship, and y'all, it was just packed in this place this morning for early worship, but the crowd for early worship and then the crowd that was here for this worship service, it just dawned on me that they were all here for the children's choir and the adult choir. I thought everybody rolled out of bed this morning and said, oh, I can't wait to get to church to hear Joel preach this morning. So maybe not. All right. Luke chapter 9, get there with me real quick as we look at this passage of Scripture. Before we started early worship, Richard Manley said, what are you preaching on today, preach? And I said, well, preaching on the Transfiguration. And just like I wanted him to do, Richard said, and what in the world does the Transfiguration have to do with Christmas? I said, well, and there's the sermon right there, Richard. So we'll get there. Eventually, we will get there, but it is the Transfiguration, Luke 9, 28 through 36. Now, if Luke follows strict chronology here, the disciples have had about a week, probably a little bit more than a week, to mull over the troublesome words that Jesus spoke to them at Caesarea Philippi. Jesus has agreed with Peter that he is the Messiah. That's a humongous marker that Jesus and Peter, you are the Christ. All right, so they've come to that point. But Jesus then adds, but I'm going to have to die. And I can imagine that that was very worrisome and troublesome for Peter and for the disciples. But not only am I the Messiah, am I going to have to die, but I will die at the hands of the religious leaders. Now this thing is just really falling apart like a cheap suit. This thing is just really going nowhere fast. Die at the hands of the religious leaders? Not evil, but the religious leaders? And then Jesus concludes, and that will all be done according to God's perfect plan. So put yourself in the shoes of the disciples thinking, man, this is just... He's the Messiah. How exciting that is. But he's got to die at the hands of the religious leaders. And it's all according to God's perfect plan. So you can imagine the disciples are perplexed to say the least. Could this be true? Is Jesus really going to have to die? There's such a cloud of uncertainty here. And so because of this uncertainty, Jesus, knowing the uncertainty of the disciples, knowing the uncertainty of this information, Jesus realizes that they need a marker. You know what a marker is in life? It's those events, those important things in your life that you go back as a marker for assurance. That you go back to that event, you go back to that time in life or whatever that marker was that gives you guidance and gives you direction. And so Jesus knew that these disciples would need some kind of marker to help them along the way. And the Transfiguration became that marker. And so, as Jesus did on several occasions, he took Peter, James, and John with him to share in this unique experience. Luke chapter 9, verse 28. About 8 days later, Jesus took Peter, John, and James up on a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was transformed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared and began talking with Jesus. They were glorious to see. And they were speaking about Jesus' exodus from the world, which was about to be fulfilled in Jerusalem. Peter and the other disciples had fallen asleep. But when they woke up, they saw Jesus' glory and the two men standing with him. As Moses and Elijah were starting to leave, Peter then, not knowing what he was saying, blurted out, "Master, this is great. This is awesome. What a wonderful experience here. Let's make three shelters as memorials. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But even as he was saying this, a cloud overshadowed them and a terror gripped them as the cloud covered them. Then a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son." There's the marker, church. "This is my son. This is my chosen one. He is the Messiah. Listen to him." And when the voice finished, Jesus was there alone. And they didn't tell anyone at that time what they had seen. So as Jesus prayed, he suddenly was transformed into an exalted figure, and the brilliance identified him as not only one with the greatest of Israel's past leaders, but also with God himself. Luke tells us that his face changed. Matthew and Mark use the Greek term metamorphumai, which actually is our word. We then got our word metamorphosis from this word. So in some ways, Jesus' experience parallels Moses' experience when Moses came down off of that mountain holding the two tablets of stone in his hands carrying the law of God. But the glory of God was then reflected in his face, much like Moses. Luke adds that Jesus' clothes became dazzling white. When Mark tells this same story, Mark is more specific. Mark says it this way, that his clothes became whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. The biblical writers, you see, were trying to communicate that both Jesus' face and his clothes reflected the radiant beauty of God, that reflected God's presence. Suddenly, the disciples were not alone with Jesus. Their two visitors appeared. So there's Moses, who represents the law. Jesus would become the fulfillment of the law. And then Elijah, who represented the prophets, the first of the prophets. So Elijah would represent the prophets. So Moses would represent the past, and then Elijah would represent the future. But their presence identified Jesus as the one who would fulfill God's plan of redemption. So in the meantime, what's going on? The disciples are sleeping. Well, this is not going to be the first time that the disciples, in a very important, incredibly important marker, important in life, it won't be the first time that we'll find the disciples sleeping. We find them later in the Garden of Gethsemane, a pretty important marker as well. These disciples were asleep, whether it was the brilliance of the light, was it the sound of the voices talking, or probably both. They were awakened from their sleep. Otherwise, they would have missed this incredible experience of Jesus and Moses and Elijah all together talking and conversing with one another. Peter, speaking for the group, as he seems to do, he suggested that let's make some tents. Let's make some structures here. So, in essence, Peter is saying, let's build a retreat center. That's exactly what we need to do. We need to have a wing for Jesus. We need to have a wing for Peter. And we need to have a wing for Moses and a wing for Elijah. We'll build us a retreat center and we'll all just stay here. Why would we want to go down from this mountain and go to the real world? Isn't it great to be right here with Jesus and Moses and Elijah? But what Peter didn't understand is that Jesus was not on equal playing field with Moses and Elijah. No, not even close. No, Moses was the law. Moses pointed to Jesus. Elijah was the prophets, and the prophets pointed to Jesus. So they were not on the level playing field at all. They were simply there in part for preparation to Jesus. In addition, the disciples misconstrued the nature of Jesus' work. Jesus had to go. Jesus had to depart. Jesus had to go to the cross and die to accomplish God's salvation. So they couldn't remain there on that mountaintop experience with Moses and Elijah and Jesus and everybody in all of the radiant glory. They couldn't do that. Jesus had to accomplish God's purpose down the mountain, not up on top of it. At that experience, Luke tells us, a cloud overshadowed them, and terror gripped them as the cloud covered them. In Jewish thought, the cloud represented the presence of God. So when Moses went up the mountain, he went up in a cloud, the presence of God. When Solomon dedicated the temple, a cloud filled it. It represented the presence of God. So the cloud of the transfiguration represented the presence of God. And then all of a sudden, the mood changed. Everything changed. Silence fell on the disciples. The brilliance of Jesus' face faded. The heavenly visitors disappeared. The disciples were alone with Jesus, and everything changed. But the disciples had their assurance, peace, truth. And that's the whole point of the transfiguration. The whole point of the transfiguration is that the disciples now had that marker in life that they could go back to and say, no. No matter what's going on in front of us, no matter what our eyes see, our ears hear, we know that Jesus is the Messiah. He was right there with Moses and Elijah. He was the one Moses pointed to, the one Elijah pointed to. He represented everything that was the fulfillment in Christ Jesus. So the assurance now was that Jesus is the Messiah. So here we are on this second Sunday of Advent. Earlier in the worship service, we lit the candle that represents peace. And if this story, the story of the transfiguration, Jesus there with Moses, the law, with Elijah, the prophets, if this story of Jesus as the assurance, oh yes, Jesus is indeed, as God will say to the disciples in just a few minutes, that He is my Son, He is the chosen one, He is the Messiah. If that doesn't give you peace that we lit earlier, nothing else will. There's nothing in this world that's going to give you peace. Nothing. If that doesn't give you peace, then nothing will. This little baby boy that was born in Bethlehem, this little baby boy born in Bethlehem who was the fulfillment of the law, who was the fulfillment of the prophets, brings to us today salvation to the lost and a world peace where there is no peace at all. On Christmas Day of 1863, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote a poem entitled Christmas Bells. That poem, 9 years later in 1872, was set to music, and we heard that song being played today on two different occasions. I hope you listened. Karen played for us, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. So Christmas Bells, that was written by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, 9 years later became the song I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. In 1861, Longfellow's second wife of 18 years died in a horrific fire. And it shattered his life. 18 years, second wife, died in a senseless fire. And boy, his life was just literally torn apart. 2 years later, it's now 1863, the country is at war. And Longfellow's oldest son, Charles, felt compelled. He just had to join the Union Army against his father's wishes. Longfellow did not want his son to join the Union Army, but he did anyway, and he was severely wounded. He was not killed, but he was severely wounded and never ever really recovered from those wounds. So there's more to the story that I don't have time to go into, but let's just say that by 1863, Longfellow's world had been turned upside down. His son was severely wounded and never recovered. His wife was killed in a horrific fire. His country, literally, not some far off world, but his own country was at war with each other, the north against the south, killing everywhere around him. And all of this was going on. And then on Christmas Day, all of that came out of him. And he wrote the title, or wrote the poem, Christmas Bells. There's two great verses of that poem, psalm. I mean, all of them are great. But there's two really important verses in that song that really just capture what he was going through. And it really captures what he was feeling. And it really captured exactly the lack of peace and the struggle for peace in his own life. He wrote these words, "And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. For hate is strong and it mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Now, when I read that, I feel in my human spirit, the humanity of me, I feel that. Wadsworth had gone through the loss of his second wife, his son severely wounded, his country at war, and all this around him, this death and destruction and darkness all around him. We somehow think that our world is the only world that's ever experienced that. But even then, 160 years ago, he experienced all of this, and it just came out. "And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth," I said. "For hate is strong, and it mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." And when I read that, the humanity in me is just like Longfellow. No, I haven't experienced all of the things that he's experienced, but I still live in a world that is dark and evil. We've got war in Europe. We've got war in the Middle East. And those are just the ones that the media covers. We actually got war everywhere. There's war all over our world. Right here in America, in our own country, we have elected officials, not appointed by some king somewhere, but we have elected officials right here in our own country that when others were brutally murdered and raped and butchered and killed, they clapped and said, "Yes." They didn't have to hide. They got a microphone out and they said, "That's exactly right. Kill them all." That's the world that you and I live in. "And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth," I said. "For hate is strong." Yes, it certainly is. "And it mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." But something, and I know what it is, something called the gospel that I preach every single Sunday, something called the good news of light in darkness, something called, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life." Something sprung in Longfellow's heart and gripped him, and it's called the power of the Holy Spirit. And after he wrote those words, "And in despair I bowed my head," the next line comes, "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong will fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men." And I hear that too. The human side of me says, "I bowed my head in despair." And then something within me, it's called the gospel that I preach every single Sunday morning. It's called good news in darkness. It's called light in darkness. That same gospel that grabbed Longfellow 160 years ago grabs me as well. And I like Longfellow say, "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong will fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men." And then God ended the story by simply saying to Peter, to James, to John, to Joel, to Ken, to all of us. He ended the story and he said, "This is my son, my chosen one." This transfiguration, this incredible event came to this point. Guys, this is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. Do you want peace this Christmas? You will not find it in the world that I live in. It will be found only in Jesus, the Messiah. This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. Father, thank you for a powerful word from an unlikely story on the second Sunday of Advent, but yet powerful in that we realize Jesus is indeed the Messiah. And this marker that we go back to that represents for us, he was the fulfillment of the law, the fulfillment of the prophets. He is indeed God's only son, the Messiah, the chosen one. Listen to him. What a powerful word for us this morning. May that word sink in our hearts and our minds and our lives. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Invitation that we're going to sing is Living for Jesus. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord, then we encourage you to make that decision today. Follow him. I'll be right here at the front to receive you. If you don't want to join our church and our ministry right here at First Baptist Church, we encourage you to do that. If you need to come and pray, do that as well. Do that as we stand, as we sing.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free.
Please be seated real quickly. Let's look at our Lottie Moon video, please, Will.
Mm-hmm. виїжджали на 10-й день війни, і це був самий початок. Рішення прийняв чоловік відправити нас, я їхала сама, вся родина залишилася вдома. Ми в безпеці, так. І, звичайно, перші слова чоловіку, що ми в безпеці вже. Все, ми на місці, ми у Польщі, нас добре прийняли.
Poland brought in the most refugees out of any country. And through that, the Lord opened the door for us to open a refugee center.
People stay in the house anywhere from 2 days to long term. We have one lady that's been there almost since it opened and is there currently.
Так, цей дім взагалі для мене став як другий дім, тому що ми майже рік тут. Холі Крістін нас зустріла. Ну, тобто, реально так, я знову відчула, що я в безпеці. І мені необхідно було бути і серед людей, тому що, ну, також важкі часи, якось, ну, переживати це все разом було мені легше.
Like to hear what you think about having someone like Holly in the house.
Це наша друга мама, можна сказати.
We started a Bible study at the center. And one of the ladies one night was sharing with me that her family was against her studying religion or knowing anything about it. And she didn't know which one was true. And she said, so I just prayed and asked God if he would show me which one is true. Which one should I believe? What can I believe? But then the war happened and I came here. And she's like, and then I realized that God led me here and he led me to you. And so she's like, and now I get to study the Bible and now I can learn. Those are the days that you leave super encouraged about what the Lord is doing. So those are good days.
It would be virtually impossible to count how many ministries are a part of the International Mission Board all over our world, but you just get to see a couple of videos that show all that goes on or the things that go on that we can't even begin to understand. Our goal is $59,000. We've only raised a little over five right now, so if you haven't yet given, please make sure that you do. All right, Will, what do we got next? Christmas brunch, mature adults, this Saturday, 10:30, Fellowship Hall. Sign up on the old Lord's Supper table. Got a big crowd already signed up for that, all right? Baby dedication is next Sunday in the early worship. Three families are going to be dedicating babies in the early worship. So if you know of one and you want to be a part of that, see Micah Gilmore, our children's minister, all right? Koinonia coming January the 14th, go ahead and ladies put that down on your calendar, January 14th at 6 p.m., all right? Comfort and Joy Basket, Sherry Manley Sunday School classes, they do this every year. The sign-up is on the glass on the library. So if you walk out by there, you'll see the sign-up sheet. You sign up, that you come and get your basket on December the 22nd between 9 and 11, and then you take it to wherever it is you sign up to take it on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. Great ministry. People are already starting to sign up for that, so go ahead and get out there and sign up for taking Comfort and Joy baskets, all right? Katricia, our very own Katricia, is coming back in town today. She then leaves next...
Right back there.
Oh. Why didn't you tell me you were here? Well, it's a little late, Katricia. I thought you were coming in this afternoon. All right, so she's here. Did you come in today?
Last night,
okay. Well, there's a lady named Katricia that's going to be here with us. All right, so on Wednesday night, the 20th, all of our semester stuff is over and done. The only thing we got going that night is right here in the sanctuary at 6 p.m., Katricia is going to be sharing with us. We'll do a little commissioning service as well. But Katricia is going to be sharing with us how the Lord's opened this door, where she's going, what she's going to be doing, how we pray for her. And it will be a really, really, really good night for us to be able to celebrate with Katricia. But now, if I'm not mistaken, you're leaving the next day and headed to your sister's. Then after that, January 1, you're headed to where you're going. All right, so I'm close. All right. Say a word of encouragement to Katricia. All right, what we got next? Multi-generational choir tonight. I broke one of my rules Wednesday night. one of my rules is never listen to one of these great things that's coming up. Never listen to it beforehand. I want to come in fresh. But I listened Wednesday night. I couldn't leave. I just wanted to leave so bad. I was like, Joel, leave, leave, leave. But then I had to stay for the next song. Oh, it's going to be so good. Ken, tell us a little bit more about it.
Yeah, you got a little bit of a taste of what we'll be doing with the 1,000 Hallelujahs we sang earlier in the service. The children led Glory. It's a more extended thing with some scripture reading. And we've got some great Christmas carols that we'll all sing together throughout. Some great music, the praise team, the choir, adult choir, youth choir, and the children's choir will be up here. And I don't know if I left anybody out, but anybody that can sing in the church pretty much is going to be a part of this. And we're excited tonight at 6 o'clock. The parade will be happening in town, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service. So hopefully by 6 o'clock you'll be able to get in easily. But if you're coming earlier, you need to make some special arrangements to make sure you get here safely and on time. Next thing is candlelight service on the 17th at 6 o'clock. And so we'll observe the Lord's Supper that night. All the musical groups in the church will sing. So it's going to be a powerful night of worship.
All right, let's all stand and close by singing the doxology.
Praise God.